knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to part one.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's show and study. Dunamis of Acts, Part 12, Overseers, Church of God, on Battle Lines. It had taken hold in the Roman Empire, and the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of men and women, regardless of those who opposed the message. Now, a staunch warning was given. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 10th day of May, 2018. And we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 26, starting at verse 3 through chapter 27, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19 through chapter 17, verse 14. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 41. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or Get Healthy Young Living to listen to the latest shows by The Watchman and the newest articles that The Watchman's written. Our show from last night, Prophecy News and the Book of Acts Part 2, Is This Occurring Today?, has been posted, and we are revealing what is happening. On the show, we have Prophecy News, Christian Pastors for Imprisoned but Not Forsaken. That was very exciting. Nigerian Persecution, Word Events, and more, and a journey into the whirlwind of the last days. So, and the newest featured post by The Watchman is Gun Control. Talk to your guns immediately. Even our forefathers warned us of the dangers of those who would take away our nation and our rights. Before a standing army could rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. America, sins of thy sister Sodom. In Judah, sins and idolatry corrupted them. They were warned of their sister Sodom. It is the sins of thy sister Sodom that hath corrupted you, O America. It is the example of Judah that is a warning for you, America. Battleground expunged. American agenda expunged. The battleground had been here before. This time, the American agenda will be expunged. That is the goal. The vow to destroy the foundation of America has been carried out in the secret agenda which was given to the colonel. And this is an excerpt from the book by The Watchman, Steal the Darkness. It's a great read. So check that out. Check out our Get Healthy Young Living radio show, where we feature oils and healthy eating and living, so you can live young as you grow old. You can go to gethealthyyoungliving.com warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warrenradio. Also on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarrenRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greeting, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Well, we're here on a Thursday night again. And
yes, that's great.
And we're just counting down the days. We always go through the days. And, of course, the last week's been kind of really busy, so it's nice. Today was kind of a little quieter this afternoon, which is good. I like quiet once in a while.
Yes, that's always a good thing.
Well, last week, you know, we had some major troubles, and we got through those on the sites. And so, well, here we are a week later, and we're still plugging on, and a lot of things going on in the world. Many people expect the Iran-Israel war. Israel herself, there's a number of them that are talking about Ezekiel 38. And it's really, if you look at it, Iran is trying to take on Israel. If, you know, Israel wipes the floor with them, it could be very well that Assad, Syria, and the Russian forces might want to get involved. And, of course, then that would be the Ezekiel 38. There's a lot of things going on like that. And, of course, Iran, they didn't need an excuse to go after Israel.
Nope.
Not at all. They've hated Israel. You know, I mean, a lot of these Muslim nations, they just live on hatred towards Israel and America. It's just like, dear God in heaven, you know, wake up, get your head out of the proverbial nether region. You know, that's just where they stick it, you know. I'm going to make war no matter what. I'm going to hate you no matter what.
Yeah.
And they live in hate. They raise their kids in hate. And they wind up, you know, they're miserable.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, that's why when you get over in the main, really, scheme of things, there's a lot of Muslims that actually turn to the Lord right now. There's a lot of them. And, of course, we've been talking about that. And so, you know, then you look at America. So, well, at any rate, a lot of things going on, and we're getting closer to summer. And, of course, it's not surprising the Democrats and all the others continue to hate and hate Trump. Although, I forgot who it was. Somebody came out today and was getting after all the liberals and Democrats because, you know, I mean, they just, you know, he was talking about the fact that, you know, they just, you know, go blitzkrieg every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, you people come off, and these are my words, you know, as crazy, you know, as nincompoops. You're just nuts, you know. And it once in a while you get, you know, maybe excited, but not every day. That was his point. He says, you people, every day you're doing this. He says, every day, every show, that's enough.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he goes on and says a lot more, but it was really good what he said. I forgot who it was. It's over on Breitbart. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how they live that way, but they do. Of course, Maxine Waters, I just think she's nuts anyway, so it doesn't matter. She don't know she's nuts because she's nuts. You know, you know, that's just the way it is. So at any rate, I don't go there. You know, And, you know, the thing of it is, who was that anyway? I think it was NBC that actually interviewed Pence.
Really?
Yeah, and the first few things I seen that they actually put down that he said really wasn't bad. So it's kind of wow, you know. Now that CNN has come off as absolutely nuts. Matter of fact, this was reported that CNN has fallen in their ratings. Just they're plunging because of the way they're so nuts and, you know, just, you know, hating Trump and all the rest of this stuff. And, you know, and the whole problem of it is, in all of these, most of the time it's money is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And they continue to report all this stuff because there's a lot of listeners that want it. And so they feed the fodder, you know, and they'll even make things up in order to feed it. You know, or they might exaggerate it. Let's put it that way. But, you know, there was a thing that came out today, and it was, and the documents came out that Comey was heading off to meet with Mueller long before Mueller ever began his full thing.
Huh.
Comey was meeting with him in,
it
said, and that's when he was still in the FBI, because they were meeting to... well, you know, probably figure out how to bring down Trump, but because there was a lot of that in the government, you know, there was a lot of conspiratorial stuff in the government against Trump before, you know, when it looked like he was going to win,
uh-huh.
and we know that some stuff came out. So the fact that he made it in spite of them shows you how, really that there was a deep state, and that there are people in there in the government that work underhandedly behind the scenes against democracy, against the republic, against the freedom of men who vote. So, you know, but the biggest news, you know, Israel, you know, has got Jerusalem as an embassy. Even though the war started, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody wants war, but it's going to come sooner or later, because the Arabs just live on the edge of, let's put it this way, Ishmael lives on the edge of hating Isaac, just like Cain slew Abel. You
too
know,
bad.
I mean, that's just the way it is. You have one that has righteous deeds before God. You have the other that just lives and possessed of hatred and murder. And that's not the way to live, you know. And in America, you know, people, if they disagree, let them disagree, but disagree agreeably.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you don't have to be so uncivil, hatred, just absolutely like you have lost a cog, you know. And that's the way it is in America today, and that's the way it is in the news, you know. And I don't care for any of these liberal news people at all. I mean, as far as the way they do it. I don't know them, but I don't like, you know, what they do and how they go to off. I can't stand a lot of the people in the news that's coming out of Hollywood and other places in the media because of the way they are, you know. They... You know, it's just that they're nuttier than a fruitcake. And, you know, just, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I also saw where they were shutting down the Hawaii National Park for because they were expecting, Kalawea to blow? Or is that already blown? At any rate, one of them's blown, and they were expecting another one.
Well, so. They're expecting... I don't know if it happened today, but they're expecting Kilauea, however you say that, to blow stuff out. When the lava gets below sea level, it'll heat up what's in there, and it'll shoot it out of the thing, ash and rocks and debris. It'll be a mess.
Well, I did see the headline to that, yeah. So they closed the park down. Well, you know, you're only on, you know, I don't know how close all them islands are over there, but, you know, that, you know, where do you go? I mean, if you're in an island,
yeah,
you know, and it's starting to blow up, I don't know where you're going to go. There was Spencer Tracy started a movie called The Devil at 4 o'clock. It's a really good movie. It's about a missionary who is Spencer Tracy and how he rescues and he has a number of others that are there that you know in the movie, and including the guy that recorded all the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, what was his name? Oh, I know. I like his voice.
Well, at any rate, he's in that movie.
Yeah.
And so, but at any rate, it's about an island, and the thing blows, and how they have to get off of it. So, I mean, when you are on an island like that, there's nowhere to go, you know. Just like if it's going to blow, that's the whole island, you know. So, at any rate, I mean, I'm not much of an island person, but, you know, we've got, you know, they've been chatting about Yellowstone for a long time. I don't worry about Yellowstone.
No, I don't either.
Know, I just, it's...
It doesn't frighten me a bit. If it goes, it goes.
Yeah, I'm not there, don't care, you know. I look to the Lord and I don't live in fear. I have no intention to live in fear.
No.
That's the way it is, you know. I may not like certain things, but I'm not going to live in fear. And I purpose to live by faith, and I have, and I've talked about this a lot. And, you know, if you're going to purpose to live by faith and to rise above the rest of it, you got to rise above it. There's certain things you don't want to watch, certain things you don't want to do, certain things, you know. I mean, you know, we talked about sanctification a lot. But see, there's really a sanctification as far as a Christian goes by abstaining from certain activities that is bad for your faith. So, you know, when you sanctify yourself, you just say, well, you know, I'm going to purpose. I'm not going to defile myself by believing, you know, by becoming fearful. Now, see, that defiles you. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And fear will always lead to unbelief. And unbelief is sin, because it's not faith. And whatsoever isn't of faith is sin. So this is the way it works. I mean, you make up your own decisions here. But
yeah.
So at any rate, you know, we are glad to be heading into the summer months. And we are working on getting everything to a new host. We haven't started yet. We still have got to finalize it, and but we're taking a little breather here, and so you know, it's just one of those things. You know, to do things like that, it just requires money. It requires expertise. It requires a lot of things in order to get all that done. And the Lord's always provided, and you know, we're going to be moving the thing, and it's the right thing to do, because we even had trouble with one of the emails, and I don't like those emails. I want to change a few things, so it just requires, once we change everything like that, it takes a lot of techie stuff, little things here and there that you got to readjust and put up and change and things, because you've moved, you've done this, you've changed emails or whatever. It just is a lot of little techie work.
Yeah.
You know, just
above
little,
my head,
and then
over my head,
and then you got all of the companies that always do updates, so then I got to update everything. And something happened after this latest Windows 10 update in the spring. It's called the Spring Update, April 2018. And that is that Google Chrome don't work very good. It doesn't load. It's really weird. It's looked like it's missing a major portion of its own coding. And of course, I guess I shouldn't, you know, it really shouldn't surprise me, because, you know, Google and Microsoft were never kissing cousins. You know, they always hated one another.
Yeah.
And, of course, Microsoft now is getting back into court with, I think it's Apple, and they did go go to court one time before, and now they're heading to court again. But see, there was kind of a romance developing between Microsoft and all the others, mm-hmm. because Microsoft had gotten so so rich and successful, and of course then they had a portion where they fell down, and they got this new guy here, and then so he started the whole Windows 10 thing, which was a new venture, and it actually, you know, Google was actually going to make a Windows 10, allow Windows 10 to do it, and they were going to, Microsoft was going to make a lighter version of Windows 10 to put on the tablets. So, you know, the romance isn't over yet, because Microsoft still wants to do a lot of that, but you know, believe you me, whenever they do these updates and you put them in, you got to be very careful, because these updates are notorious for having certain things go wrong. And, you know, it's operating pretty much, you know, for what I've got. But we've got all new stuff. We, you know, I mean, everything I keep updated. So all the drivers, I mean, everything you got to keep up. There is everything you got to watch on this.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it drives you nuts. I mean, there's always, and on our websites and all of our stuff, all of our coding, everything. Everything has to be updated all the time, because there's somebody around the corner that wants to hack you. And that's, you know, I still, you know, it's hard for me to think that some guy just came along and hacked our website, because they're almost impossible to hack that way. This, folks, really seemed like there was some other shenanigans going on somewhere else. And I don't want to say, you know, but there's, I've got sneaking suspicions here, and you know, there's no way of proving it. But I think somebody got away with something.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm just glad to be able to get it back up and everything. But, you know, you just can't, you know, you got to keep yourself safe. Matter of fact, coming up on Sunday on our Get Healthy and Living. Now, we didn't do one last Sunday because we were, all the websites were down. And Get Healthy Young Living didn't go down, but we were busy since, you know, I mean, we're it. So, you know, if we're doing shows, that means we can't get the website back up. And when it took 4 days, as it was about to get for me working full time to get the website up. This week we're going to do that. We were going to talk about how to stay safe on the internet and all the dangers on it. And I don't know if we're going to do it or not, but we'll either do it this Sunday or another time. But we do, Tower, and I do want to, on our Get Healthy Young Living, we do want to talk about safety online.
Yes, we do.
So at any rate, we're going to have to get off here and get going.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan, Stan.
Good plan, Stan. Okay.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Yep. Okay, we are in Dunamis of Acts, Part 12, and this portion is Overseers of the Church of God. And, you know, we left off in Acts 20, and we've got the last four verses I'm going to be going over just to give you an idea where we were. And Paul is talking here. And he says, he's going to Jerusalem, and he said that he was bound in the Spirit, and that he was told through the Holy Spirit that persecutions and imprisonment await him, which it did. When you follow how Paul gets from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, it's an amazing story, because along the way, he does develop, you know, friendship with a Roman officer on board the ship. He actually saves him, and you know, so there is. It's quite a story, but at any rate, in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, see, these are things that statement there is really, really a good statement. Because, you know, no matter what the Holy Spirit is telling him about imprisonment and danger and stuff, he is fully confident in the Lord, in the fact that God is leading him, that he is willing, you know, to lose his life for the Lord if that's what it's going to be. But see, when you're in the ministry or living as a believer, you lose yourself to the Lord anyway. I mean, you submit to his will. But he says he wants to finish his course with joy in the ministry. And of course, that's a goal. You know, you want to, it is accounted unto men to be faithful. We are to be faithful as his children, whether you're in the ministry or not. And our whole goal in life should be one thing, to make it to the end, being faithful. And he says, the ministry, he says, which I've received of the Lord. See, the ministry, you don't create the ministry. You receive it of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul did. He was appointed an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, for the rest of us, we may not have the Lord God appear to us. We may not have all the bells and whistles or whatever you may think. But the Lord does move in the hearts of men, and his Spirit does move in within his people. And so God makes the will known, especially those who he calls. And when you receive that, you're expected to be faithful. And Paul, you know, it's just one of these simple statements about being faithful and just wanting to finish it. And he says, now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And that's quite a statement, because he was pretty close to a lot of them, a lot of people around that, you know, he was the one that the paramount, apostle. And so they would have, you know, felt, you know, sad. But he had left a number of people in charge, people who had been with him. And so he was able to go do what the Lord had done. Because there comes a time when you have to move on. And the duty falls to somebody else. And, we've been doing this for 20 years, and we plan on doing it as long as we can. But there may come a day that, it's time for us to quit, time for us to move on. Maybe the night cometh when no man can work. But everything comes to an end sooner or later. And even if you're not in the ministry as a Christian, you know, in your family, being married, whatever it is, you know, life has a tendency to pass by real quickly. And you have to be able to, number one, enjoy every day that God gives you and be thankful. And too many times, I don't think we do that. Because we take it for granted, you know, your family's here all the time and time passes real quickly and you're just not fully there where you should be. But I'm just urging you in this, just to reevaluate your family and where you're at. And, you know, if you haven't been close to them, get close. You know, if you haven't forgiven someone, forgive them. Whatever it is, you know, life is short, folks. So now we're up to verse 28 of chapter 20. And Paul is talking to those who he's leaving in charge. And this is another verse I really, really like. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now see, all these churches we have in America and around the world do not belong to men. Now, they've put man-made denominations on them, man-made names. They've got, a lot of them have their own doctrines. They have their own interpretation. They have their own particular way of doing things. But the people who have accepted the Lord in whatever church they're in today, wherever it's at around the world, And if they truly believe and have received him, they are the Lord's. And he purchased them with his own blood. And it is very conducive to the fact that if you fail to take heed, then judgment will find you. You are to take heed to the fact that God appointed you not to be some pompous dictator, but you are a minister and you are there to feed the flock and give them according to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you have to feed them the sharp word of God, the fire, and other times you feed comfort. You know, you don't slaughter the lambs every time you see them. You feed them. You know, the idea is to feed the flock of God so they live and they are nourished. Now, sometimes, of course, you might find a wolf and you have to give the sharp word of God. And sometimes you have to give the word of God to call him back. And it's the same thing you would with anybody. If you were going to warn him, you would shout. You would alert him. And Paul's saying here, take heed to yourselves. And this is a pertinent warning to those that he's leaving. You pay attention to what you're doing, because what you're doing is you're overseeing the Lord's flock, and he's not going to take kindly if you abuse his flock. Now see, God did not take kindly to the leaders in Judah and in Israel at the time when they misled his people. And they did, and they got judged severely for it. And even the prophets and the priests in the temple. And if you want to know what God thinks of that, you get into Ezekiel chapter 14 through 16. That's just a few. You could even go from chapter 12, but you read in there, and you're going to find out what God thinks when the prophets and the priests and everybody else, the leaders, go off on their own and lead their people into sin. Because God isn't going to put up with it. And that is a perfect example. And he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now see, this is the unfortunate thing, and it wasn't just with Paul, but it was with all the apostles. And I've mentioned this a lot too, because this is really what's happened. You and I are here a long ways away from the apostolic doctrine and from the original, giving of everything. And we have a lot of people who believe things as the result of grievous wolves who have led them astray. And there are people that believe fables, and they think that they're doing the right thing. You can't talk to them, you can't warn them, you can't do anything. But see, the deception has already entered in a long, long, long time ago. And Paul warns about this, especially because he knows that the minute he leaves... because Paul was right there, you know. I mean, he would challenge him, jump right in the middle of it, and he'd debate with him, you know, and he wouldn't put up with it. And he says, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And you know, perverse is not good. But see, this is exactly, you know, that one thing we need to understand, and especially today, there is that user-friendly church out there that's willing to, you know, make it easy for those people to come in. Of course, they don't mention sin, they don't, and they accept a lot of things they shouldn't. So there's, you know, too many times over, you know, all the centuries, it's a man-pleasing event in church. It is a political thing. It is that arena that is established, and men get power and they don't want to let it go. There's jealousies and rivalries even in the ministry. It's disgusting, but that's the way it is. I know it. You know, it's just the way it is. And you just, man, you got to look to the Lord. You know, if you look to men, you're going to be so screwed up you won't know which way is up. I mean, literally, you cannot look at men and you know, if you're in a church, you know, and the pastor, the deacons, or something isn't scriptural, get your butt out of there. You know, I mean, go and ask the Lord to direct you. But today, you know, that's the way it is. It was in Paul's day. He warned about it, and they entered in. You know, you figure after 100 AD, all the original apostles were gone. And, of course, their disciples could have been still around, probably were. And then their disciples. So you figure you go up to around 200 AD. But see, these wolves entered in right away. The minute, you know, and this happened also right after major persecutions. You know, Paul was killed. He was martyred. Peter was martyred. And, you know, John lived to old age, but, you know, a lot of them were martyred. And when they're martyred, there's no leaders left, you know, and the seeds of the church has been planted. And so it's up to the power of God and His Spirit to take care of the church. And see, this is the example we have from China, for instance. When China became communist and all the missionaries were chased out, they left. Nobody knew for decades whether there was even a Christian church left in China. But then when it was finally revealed that there was house churches everywhere, that there was men full of the power of God and things were really moving, we understood that, yes, God is in charge of His church. He's the one responsible. And this is what we're seeing when on our Prophecy News show. When we talk now, we bring up what God is doing in the world as far as Christianity. And we are seeing a mighty move of God, just like in the book of Acts. And, you know, reports are coming in, and we're talking about, you know, Muslims getting saved, and they're going out and being adept in the, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, and just, you know, folks, this is the Lord's church, and whenever we forget it, we're in trouble. So no matter how bad things may get, God is in charge. And when He's in charge, it also means that He knows who you are. And see, these things are all pertinent, because when Paul was leaving, they could have been concerned. And I guarantee you, a lot of them would have been, because he was going to go away and they didn't know. And Paul didn't even know, but it actually turned out that he ministered for 2 years after he got to Rome and actually you know, met with Caesar there and everything, and he ministered for 2 years, declaring the gospel. People got saved. There was Christians there that were encouraged. You know, this is what it is. You know, you don't know, but God has things under control. Just like when we think about Joseph, who was sold into slavery, and when he eventually became second in command in the kingdom. And God used that to save, you know, the rest of Israel, you know, you know, all of his brothers and his dad and everything, his family. And of course, this is how God works. And of course, we are in these last days. And so Paul says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And, you know, you think about this. Now, this is a guy that is not a liar. But when he was in a town, he would go into the synagogues almost all the time and meet with Jews, and he would spend the time in there speaking and debating with the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, Yeshua is the Messiah. And here he says, warned everyone night and day with tears, trying to get him to repent. Now see, you look at America, you look at the churches. It was said a long time ago when I was, many, many years ago. We used to talk about this, and, you know, the unbelievers, if this was really true, that you needed to be saved and that the end was coming, wouldn't you be out screaming on the streets to get people to be saved? And you would think that you would be doing that. But see, you have to be led of the Lord. And of course, Paul just didn't blatantly go anywhere. He, wherever he went, which was in the synagogues, and he was on Mars Hill, you know, wherever he went, he would warn them as long as it took. You know, the importance of knowing this God through his Son. And see, this is a commitment. These things are important for us today. This is the flock of God. And the overseers need to take heed how they act. They have to understand their responsibility. And that there's going to be false prophets and false teachers trying to draw people away from you. And there are going to be a lot of people who may not believe. And so even if you were today, especially in America, go out and just scream your fool head off and say you take a shofar and just blow it until you can't blow it anymore and you're creating a ruckus, well, the cops are going to come and they're going to lock you up. And are you going to change anybody's mind? No. Now see, Paul's talking about this in the context of who he is. He is able to talk and debate with anybody at that time because he knew the Word of God. He knew the law inside and out. He knew how Yahshua had fulfilled the prophecies. And so he could talk with them all. And he would sit there at length doing these things. You know, he's not going to stand outside the governor's house, you know, of a certain province and yell and scream like a fool. No, you got to use wisdom. You got to be led of the Spirit. And when you find people and you talk with them, be prepared for an extended stay. You know, I need to talk to you and answer the questions and deal with it. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, the one thing I found in the Bible that I really, really like in the Bible, and that is when you come to the summary at the end of all the books, because they wrap things up. And here you see more of a personal thing, you know, last reminders. And you see the personal aspect of who's speaking. And, you know, this is his seriousness. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What else is he going to do? Which is able to build you up, he says, and to give you an inheritance. He's given them hope and letting them know that, hey, I'm giving you to God because I'm not going to be here. And the word of his grace, it's able to build you up, so don't forsake it. And it will give you an inheritance. So if you're having problems after I leave, look to the word which you will find his grace. His grace is his favor which will build you up. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you continue in that, you will find your inheritance. Because all of those who are sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ by faith and come unto the Father, you know, we go to him by faith, but we also imbibe, take in the word of his grace. These are really good words. And of course, he makes some statements here. And I like these because it reveals who he is. He says in verse 33 of Acts 20, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Now, make no mistake, folks. In America, we have a lot of idols, and there's people that have a lot of gods. You can have a god, and it can be you know, your house. It can be your husband or your wife. It can be inanimate objects. See, because we in America have so much, you know, money itself, success itself, can turn into be our idol. And for Paul to say, in other words, he was willing to go, whether he had silver, gold, or apparel, he was just going to go. Whatever it took, he was going to do it. And he says, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In other words, he labored. And it was well known, him being a tent maker, it was well known that he would go out and he would work whenever he needed to. And, you know, we do talk about this when we talk about home missions, when we talk about getting the gospel out. You know, the gospel is not about having a lot of people give you money and support the way we've done in America. Now, God has made allowances for those to preach the gospel that they should live off the gospel, that if they minister to you of spiritual things, they can live off of your physical things when you donate to them. God has made that allowance. But see, the bottom line is that we give the word of out, the word of God out. We preach, we teach, and we do these things because we're not doing them for money. We're not doing them, you know, and you make allowances. You make commitments. This is who I am, you know. You know, we do have people that support us and help us, you know, but we don't have a ton of people. We don't do a lot of things that most of the ministers in the world do. We don't do that. We work, and we don't covet silver, gold, or apparel. We'd like to have some land, like to have a house. We don't have a house. You know, the number one thing is the gospel and the call, what we're doing. And see, this is what Paul, see, he's going to be gone. And he wants to make sure that the air is clear. You know, because if he says this, they can come back and say, well, yeah, but you coveted this of mine, or whatever. And so he's letting them know, I have not coveted your silver, gold, or apparel. And you know, because you've been with me, he's saying, how that my own hands have provided my own necessity and living. I've worked. I haven't come begging to you. You didn't support me. You took care of your family. You listened to me. I dealt with you, you know, and brought you the word. And then I went and I supported myself with my own two hands. That's what he's saying. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And yet this is what Paul said, you support the weak. He said, I've shown you this. And to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so these are personal things. This is the essence of who Paul was. He didn't covet anything. He didn't consider his life. His life was the Lord's. He was prepared to live or die at any times. He was prepared to work if he had to do a job. He would go into an area and he'd either stay there if he had to flee right away because they were beating him up, or if he got beat up and they left him for dead, he would get up and go back to work. Whatever it took is what he was willing to do. And see, this is the call. When you talk about being an apostle, you know, you see all these people in America, and they get on TV and they're all dressed up, and they have, and you have a few of the evangelists, and they have multi-million dollar planes and multi-million dollar houses, and they have all these things. That is not the gospel in the early days. That's not the apostle Paul at all. Now, you have to decide what you think about it. You have to make up the decision. I don't agree with the way we do things in this country and in the church. I think that we are the Laodicean church, and I think we are in trouble in this country, and I think that Christians are in trouble, and I think they have no clue because the leaders, just like in the land of Israel, the leaders have led them astray. Period. And so here Paul is closing, and he said when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. See, this was love of the brethren. Now you see, in the Middle East and in foreign countries, you know, it's nothing if you love somebody, you know, give them a hug and a kiss on the cheek. You know, men will even do that with other men. But today we are so corrupted and perverted. You know, they think, oh, they're queer or something. You know, we are so hardened, so meticulously sinful and prideful in many of the things we do. We have no clue as to what true love really is. And I can tell you, these people were fellow laborers. They had been with Paul, but they were not invited to this party Paul was going on. They could not go with him. They had responsibilities. There was a move of God, and Paul has left them in charge, and they were going to be working with the Lord to build the church even greater. And he says, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. And I can just see that, you know, leave, you know, it's like saying goodbye, you know. And you don't think you're ever going to see him again. You know, I remember when I was a young man in the service, I was 17 years old. I was one of the last crop of American kids to be able to get into the military. I was in the Navy at the age of 17. I was a young punk. And so, you know, there I remember the first Christmas. I wasn't at home. I wasn't at home when all the family was doing their stuff. But of course, you know, there were groups and there were other servicemen that was just like that, and you found your fellowship there. You was able to do things. But this is growing up. And see, this is an early church, and they're learning to grow up now. Because the church can't depend on Paul forever. The church can't depend on John. They can't depend on Peter. They can't depend on James. They can't depend on these guys forever. These guys were the seeds of the church. They're the beginning of it. Christ was the initial seed, and then their lives are the other seeds. See, and this is how the church has grown over the years, is the blood of the saints that have gone on before, the seeds and the lives of those who have gone on. This is who you belong to. You just don't belong to a little denomination of certain, you know, like you're a Methodist or whatever you are, a Presbyterian or Assembly of God or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we are deeper than that. And if your faith is just connected to your one church, then you don't have the full scope of it. You know, we're supposed to love the brethren in Christ. It didn't say, well, if you're Assembly of God, just love the Assemblies of God and the Church of God. It doesn't say if you're Baptist, just to love Baptists and not the Pentecostal. If we are Christians, and if we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, then there must be more love in this country among the brethren, because the Lord said, by this shall you know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And I'm going to tell you flat out, folks, there is not that love in the church today. And you can say what you want to. You can deceive yourself. But I'm telling you it's not there. And God will judge this church. He will judge this church before he will judge this nation called America. You can take that to the bank. He will always judge the church before he judges the nation. So you had better wake up. Dear God in heaven, help us, O Lord. And with that, we're coming down to the end of first hour. And we break these up into about an hour segments. And we do that to make it easier to upload them, for the people to download them, and also to get them on their phones. And so I want to remind you here, we're going through Acts, and we're going through Pentecost on Friday nights. And be sure to check out the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And if you haven't signed up to our emails, you can these things pop up on all of our websites. You can sign up for the email list to get the news that comes out. I don't do a lot of sending out stuff. It's all automated. I set it up that way. When we have new posts, it'll automatically go out. And once in a while, I'll send out something from me to everybody. But, you know, I know I've signed up to a number of things, always have, because we get information in. And some people just abuse it. I mean, I'm getting, in the morning, I'll have five emails from them. I don't want five emails from everybody. I don't have enough time to read all that junk. You know, so I don't send you a lot of junk. I mean, if you want to know what we're doing, if you want to know what the shows were, then sign up to those and you'll get them. If you don't want to, then don't sign up. It's as simple as that. So, at any rate, we're going to get done with hour one here. And we'll be back. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.